Okay, so what I want to do before we get started, just to be really clear, we put it on the group meetings and a lot of people ask questions, but my goal tonight is for us to finish lesson three. Jane got us to question number four on lesson three. So we'll finish lesson three and we'll go through lesson four. And even if we don't finish lesson four tonight, I think next time we get together, we'll pick up at five and six, okay? So we're going to really start, if you want to turn in your book. The first question that we'll review together is question number five on page 39 in lesson three, and it's titled Confessing Sin. So before we do that, what I'd like to do is just go to the Word and read through the passages that we're going to cover tonight, just to get us back on a grounding of what is the actual passage that we're studying tonight, and just to have the thought in our mind. So I'm just going to read it out loud, and y'all follow along with me in 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 5 of chapter 1, and we're going to read through verse 11 of chapter 2. And I don't know if y'all are like me, but I write in my Bible a lot. Yes. And so maybe even as we're reading through it, if you haven't done this, underline things that stand out to you and just things that as you've studied over the last couple of weeks, things that really stood out to you that... Because I would love to have really just good feedback and input all throughout the night. So don't be afraid to speak up. But let me say this too. Remember that it can be sometimes hard to hear. And so if you do speak up, please speak loudly and clearly so everybody in the room can hear you. Okay? Okay, so let's read in 1 John verse 5 of chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is the new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I know that's a lot, but y'all have been studying it for a couple of weeks, so it's just a good refresher to think through all the things that we'll cover tonight. I want to start by just an illustration that I really think the Lord gave me when I was trying to think through what all of this meant. And so... Leah, will you and Kayla come help me? Can y'all both come up here, please? Kayla said no. For those of you just listening on the recording, Kayla is a brat. Kayla said no. Okay, so y'all just stand here side by side on the fireplace. No, you know what I mean. Don't have water ever. Okay, I'm going to blindfold you. Am I going to mess up? Oh, I might have cut it too short. Oh, girl, it might be tight. You going to be okay? Mm-hmm.
She said, can't feel my eyelashes.
I'm pulling your hair, too.
Yeah, I can feel
that. She said, yeah, I can feel that. Is that okay? Now, no cheating, okay?
I mean, I can literally not feel my eyelashes.
I'm hearing it. You got to take your glasses off, yeah.
I'm blind now anyway.
Yeah, you're blind. You don't even need to take glasses. to try really hard not to mess your hair up.
Man.
Okay, so.
Did you make any efforts for mine?
I didn't care about it. You were a Brian and you said no, so I didn't care. Okay, so Kayla and Leah cannot see. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to touch y'all a little bit, so don't be alarmed. Okay? You're my good friends. You're just fine.
Does that say skinny?
We just read about liars.
It wouldn't be lying.
Down,
lying. Is this all my sins that you're outing
us? I know. I'm so sorry. It's a good thing we're great friends, isn't it? Okay, so no one tell Leah and Kayla what these things say, okay?
Oh, my God.
Don't tell them what I've just done to them here. Okay, so Leah, tell me what's on your shirt.
A label.
What does the label say?
Best assistant ever.
Kayla, what does your label say?
Precious.
All right, y'all gotta speak up for the
precious. If this one says precious.
No one help them. Okay, so the real answer is you have no idea, right? Okay, so
the real answer, folks.
Okay. So you're both right now in darkness, and there are things that are on you that you cannot see, and so you can't tell me what they are. But in the illustration, I'm Jesus, not to be prideful, but just because I know what to do.
She would make us the sinners.
Okay, so I'm going to take the blindfold off of Kayla. So what's happened is...
It's not precious.
It's not precious. So, Kayla is now in the light. Don't look at Leah yet. Look at me. That's actually part of the illustration. Just look at me for right now. Look at Jesus. Okay, you just got saved, girl.
Worry about yourself.
Look at Jesus. Okay, so Kayla is now in the light because she has put her faith in Jesus. She's accepted him. And so the blindfold's taken off of her eyes, and she's in the light now. So, what are you going to do now that you're in the light? And this was all on you, but you didn't know what it was. Yes. What's your... Don't take it off. Just use your words. No actions. Just use your words.
I would want them all.
Okay. So I'm Jesus, and I'm bringing light to your life right now. So now that you're out of darkness and you're in the light, you can see what these things are.
Will you take them off, Jesus?
I can't take them off of you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to expose them to you. And so now Kayla has a choice to make. She can, in her flesh, she can argue with me. She can deny it. She can say, I'm not a liar. I don't have lust. I don't have pride. Jesus, I don't slander people. I don't gossip. And she can also choose to be mad at me. Why are you showing me these things? I don't want to see this stuff on me. Get this stuff off of me. I don't want this. Or she can recognize what I'm doing in her life as the righteousness that has come to her, and the light that has come to her is that as her Savior, I'm revealing to her the truth about who she is. And so as believers, when Jesus shows us, because the light comes to our life, and he shows us, Christy, you're a gossip. I can either argue with him and resist that, or I can agree with him. This word is in our study a lot this week. Confession and agreement. Yes, Jesus, you are right. I am a liar. I am lustful. I am a gossip. Yes, I see it. I hate it. I don't want this on me. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to do this, but I agree with you. It's true. I am these things. And so as Kayla and I come into relationship and we start walking together in the light, I'm the light, I'm showing her more and more of herself, and we're walking through life together, all of this is still here, because what is this really? How would you describe what's on her? It's her sin nature. It's her flesh. And so what does the Bible tell us in Romans about our flesh?
There's no good thing in it.
And when are we going to be rid of it? In heaven.
Right.
So in this life, we're never going to be free of this. So it isn't like Jesus comes and says, let me have that. He doesn't, because we can't make our flesh better. There's nothing we can do to make this look good. And so as we walk in the light, Jesus shows it to us. And as we battle our flesh and our spirit, this battle we live in every day, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're walking with Jesus. You're in relationship with him. He's speaking to you. You're in the Word. He's revealing more and more things to you. Really, because we're covered in stickers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only five on there. We're covered in them. And so he's in relationship, and he's teaching you who you really are. And you're seeing more and more of your flesh, and you hate your flesh. Because the more you see Jesus, and the more you're in love with Jesus, and the more your relationship with Jesus is revealing those things to you, you're drawn to him, and you want to be like him. And so you're like, God, I don't want this flesh anymore. And so that's why we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, because we can choose the mind of Christ. So every day we have this choice. I can live in my flesh, or I can choose the mind of Christ. And so it doesn't change what I am. The stickers are all still there, and I'm still the same person because my flesh is still with me. But I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm talking to Jesus, and I'm just more and more like Jesus. And instead of Kayla's eyes being on her stickers and like, get these off of me, her eyes are on me. And it's just like, I want to know you better. I want to be in relationship with you. And so our eyes are off of our flesh and they're on to the Spirit. And we're actively choosing the mind of Christ. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So beautiful. Okay, so come back here and let's look at Leah's stickers.
Okay, so
let me read them.
So don't read them yet.
Actually, read them.
Okay. Read them to her.
Gossip. Read them, hey, read them kind of ugly. Like,
gossip, yeah, you're a liar. Ugly, prideful, mm-hmm. Selfish, mm-hmm. Anger, liar.
Yeah. Leah, fix yourself. Like, what's wrong with you? You're a liar.
This one.
Don't find him and don't really pull him out.
I should have prepared y'all better for this.
I should have let him know
what the plan was.
Okay. So now, we're going to get to this in the scripture. So now, we as believers, we're walking together in the light, right? Jesus is with us. We're walking together in light. So Kayla encounters Leah. What is Leah right now? She's still in the darkness.
Yeah.
Leah's still in the darkness. So Kayla can stand here all day and say, Leah, you have a sticker that says you're a liar, and you have a sticker that says you're selfish, and what's wrong with you? Well, she's in the darkness. She doesn't know that those things are there. She can't see them. When we're lost, we can't see our sin, and we certainly can't fix it because we don't even know it's there. We're in the dark. So Kayla says, Leah, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. She has blonde hair and she has on a navy blue shirt. So okay. Leah, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. And let me lead you to Jesus. And Leah says, oh, Kayla, that sounds amazing and I want to know this Jesus. And so she accepts Jesus as her Savior. I'm going to let you do it.
Do you want
to? Okay. Jesus is supposed to do it, but it's kind of tight.
You should untie it.
Yeah, let's untie it.
Kayla did that, not me.
Okay, so now, and Leah has glasses, and so now Leah's in the light, right? So look at your shirt a little bit. Okay, so you see it.
It's true.
And you're going to have the same reaction as Kayla. You're just going to agree with Jesus. Yes, I'm selfish. Yes, I'm a gossip. Yes, I'm a liar. Yes, my flesh is wretched. Yes. I agree with you, Jesus. I see it. And now I'm in the light and I see it. Being in the light doesn't mean that we're suddenly perfect. It doesn't mean I'm never going to sin again. It doesn't mean I don't have to battle the fact that I'm a gossip and I don't have to battle the tendency to lie. I still battle it because it's in my flesh. Now I'm in the light and I see it. And it's no longer hidden from me because Jesus is here and he's the light and he's revealing these things now to Leah. And so in love to one another, now Leah and Kayla are walking together in the light with Jesus. Y'all don't have to go too far. You can stop there. So now they're walking together in the light. And as believers who love one another the way that Jesus loves us, Kayla can say, Leah, I see this right here. And Kayla can say, you know what, girl, I got it too. I have that one too. And we can help each other. Hey, Leah, I see your anger's kind of coming out right now. Let's pray. You know, let's seek the Lord together. Hey, I noticed you were struggling in this relationship because there's gossip and there's envy between you. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's spend time in the Word together. Let's help each other. I want to help you get through this. And here's Jesus in the middle of the friendship, and it's like, together,
as they are both walking in relationship with the Lord, they can help each other and encourage each other. Do the stickers go away? No. The flesh never goes away. But every day,
they're encouraging one another. We're all encouraging one another. Let's walk in the light. Let's walk in relationship with Christ. Every time we open our Bible, every time we worship, every time we pray, there's more and more that we're knowing Jesus. He's closer and closer to us. And so that light is just illuminating our flesh. And we can see it. And so instead, y'all can sit down. Instead of seeing it and resenting it or the thing that I think so much about, don't take them off because I might use y'all again. You can't. They're on you forever now. It's your flesh, girl. The other tendency that we have so much that comes out in this study is that we now come under the law. Like, okay, Jesus, I see the pride, and so I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make a list of 10 things I can do today to make sure that I don't have pride in my life. Or we start judging each other for the things in our life. And Jesus is just saying, no, just come walk in the light with me. Spend time in my word. Spend time in my presence. And let me show you these things as we walk together. So I want that analogy to be what helps us as we talk through the rest of this study tonight. And I want you to think about the comparison. And if you're listening to a section or you're answering a question and it makes you think of something that we've said right here, say it. You know, let's talk about it. We'll leave their stickers on and we'll just talk through it. But I just think that's a beautiful way of thinking about what does it mean to really walk in the light? Because I do think people get tripped up sometimes into thinking, okay, if I struggle with a feeling of hatred, does that mean that I'm back in the darkness now and I'm completely in the dark? No, it means you're walking in the light with Jesus and he's showing you your flesh. And every day we're choosing. I've told y'all this before, and so most of y'all probably heard me say this, but I remember one Sunday Lee preached about having the mind of Christ. And it was just such a beautiful sermon. And I went to the altar, and I was in the altar, and I was crying my eyes out, and I was saying, Jesus, oh God, please give me the mind of Christ. Please give me the mind of Christ. God, please give me the mind. I want to have the mind of Christ. Please give me the mind of Christ. And I'm like in the altar on the side of the stage, down with my head down, like alone, you know. And I hear Pastor Lee, and he goes, y'all hold the music down for a second. Everybody, I want you to listen to me. And you know, he doesn't do that a lot during altar calls, but it was like, I want everybody to hear what I'm about to say. If you are in the altar and you are asking the Lord to give you the mind of Christ, if you're saved, he has already done that. And you don't have to ask him for that anymore. You have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. So, I mean, first I was a little bit like, are you listening to me? Do y'all ever feel like he reads your journals? I can't tell you how many times I have walked up to that man after church and said, get out of my journal. But it was like he literally heard me. I couldn't believe it. When he said, if you're asking the Lord for the mind of Christ, I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, you have the mind of Christ. If you are in the light and you are walking with Jesus, you have the mind of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And he gives us fellowship with the Father because he lives in us and he communes with the Father. And so you have the mind of Christ. And so as we walk in the light with Jesus and we are revealed to ourselves and to everybody around us, the truth of who we are and our flesh is revealed and we become more and more aware of what that is, then Jesus is in fellowship with us, and we constantly battle flesh and spirit, but we learn how to choose the mind of Christ more than we choose the flesh. And so in that, our flesh dies, and it becomes weaker and weaker, and our spirit grows stronger and stronger because we choose the mind of Christ, and we exercise that faith. Isn't that beautiful? It's just so beautiful. God is so good. And I think about, like, I'm going to stop talking so y'all can talk, but He is our advocate. He's with us. It says it in the book somewhere, but that word advocate really means like he's there to walk alongside of us. He's helping us. He's not over us, condemning us. There's no condemnation in Christ. He's not condemning us. He's saying like, aren't you glad I showed you that? Mm-hmm. Kayla, see that pride right there? Aren't you glad I showed you that? And our option is to say yes. Yeah. Yes, God, I'm so glad you let me see that part of me that is just so disgusting, because I don't want to choose that anymore. I want to choose you, and I want to be in relationship with you. So let that analogy just guide us through the rest of this conversation, okay? So let's start with question number 5. It says, talking about confessing sin, what does a person walking in the light still need from Jesus?
The blood of Jesus to still
forgive
sin. The blood? Specifically look at chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say? Somebody read it out loud.
And walk in the light, he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Is that right?
Yep, that was right. Yep. So we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse our sins. And the fellowship with one another, you know, in the analogy, it's like we help each other as we grow closer to him.
There is a scripture, as I recall, somewhere, and I don't remember, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember where it is. But yeah. It's
yeah. His blood had to be shed. So look at the next page in the little thought and discussion question. It says, is it possible to be walking in the light and confessing sin without spending lots of time with God? Why or why not? Oh, Iris is here. Hey, Iris.
Hey.
Come on in, girl. Make yourself at home.
It's Hebrews 9:22. I had written it in my little book.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even realize
yeah.
I wasn't looking.
Hebrews 9:22. Did anybody read that or think about that? Anybody want to say anything about that? Is it possible to be walking in the light and confessing your sin without spending time with God?
Well, I guess that if you're walking in the light and you see what Jesus sees, you may see what's going on in your life and you can say, oh, God, please forgive me.
Yeah.
And like that.
Yeah.
Now, if it's deeper, it may require a longer conversation, but if, like you said, if you see what he sees,
mm-hmm.
you see it. You see what's going on, so you can realize right away that you've done something wrong. Like, ooh, that thought was not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the word that I get hung up there is lots. I think you have to define your terms.
Yeah.
What does lots of time mean?
It is kind of a weird little way they said that.
Yeah.
It sounds very casual.
Yeah.
It sounds very casual. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kayla, come here. You can talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. For me, I don't think that if we're walking in the light and we're confessing sin, then I know for me, I have to spend that time with God for him to even reveal that sin to me, to be able to confess it. If I'm not in his word and don't know his word and spending time with him, how am I going to know? I'm still walking in darkness. I'm not in the light. And this is say if we're walking in the light.
Yeah.
I think sometimes though people can get condemned because especially young moms who try to get up before their kids do, but then the kids wake up and it's like you go through your whole day and you have it. So what you're saying, like, there's lots of time. If we define it like, okay, I've got to spend an hour devotions a day, but I can be in the grocery store and have an attitude and the Holy Spirit convicts me.
Yes.
And I can confess my sin.
Yeah.
And so it is a relationship that's like an ongoing,
right.
You know, is it based on how much I think we'd be enriched the more time we spend with the Lord, you know? But sometimes we can set aside hours and just sit, I'm going to spend all this time with the Lord. And, maybe we're not even him speak. And then we can be in the middle of something crazy and God speaks to us. We belong to him.
Yeah. Right.
It's that relationship, you know.
Yeah.
It's enriched definitely more so. I mean, the more we know the word, he speaks to us through his word.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so
it's a lifetime.
Yeah, it's a
lifetime work. And I understand, Carla, what you're saying about having an attitude, you know, all of a sudden, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's the lifetime that we've spent with God and not being in the law, you know, saying, okay, I've got to, I'm not walking in the light and I'm not spending enough time with God unless I've spent 5 hours on my knees every day. You know,
right.
I mean,
right.
I think a good way to look at that, I remember the Lord teaching me one time about just like how the Bible says pray without ceasing. And like, when you just, when you look at that, you're like, all right, I've basically failed. Like, there's no way. And we live in a world where we can't do that. But it's like eating. It's like you wake up and you eat breakfast. And it's like when you feel a hunger pain, that's, you go eat again. You don't wait till you're famished to eat. So it's like spiritually, it's like you wake up, you feast the Lord, whether that's 5 minutes or an hour, whatever you have. And it's like when you feel that hunger pain, like that spiritual, like, oh, I need to eat. Like, as you just stop and you listen to it and you feed yourself and you keep going. Like, there's no, it's just continuous. So it's like your food that's in your body, you're not eating, but it is working in you until that hunger pain comes, says, hey, I need more. It's just a good, it's just, it kind of frees you from.
Like the Holy Spirit's inside you. He's cultivating hunger,
right.
Desire,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, you know, all of that. It's mm-hmm. His work.
I think just, it's just what everybody's saying, but I'm always walking with God. You know, just like Carl said, in the grocery store, it's not just when we're in that time of devotional. Like, I really do get to say that I'm His daughter. He's always with mm-hmm. me. I'm indwelt by Him, you know, so... It, you know, walking in the light is just you walking as a Christian with Christ and being mm-hmm. open to that voice that comes to convict you or speak to that person or whatever. You know, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, whoever abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. You know, just it's just walking. It's just walking with the Lord and being mm-hmm. open to Him, to talk to you all the time, you know. So I do spend lots of time with God. You know, it doesn't necessarily look like everybody else's, and as a mom, it's definitely different, but like, I spend time with Him over the dishes or in the car or, you know,
yes.
all the time. You know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, this is, I've done such a bad job of this meal or whatever. Like, we just have a relationship, you know, and it's just, and it, we just walk in that light, you know, and He's constantly exposing the flesh, you know, like this is
so true. I think it also has a lot to do just with the condition of our heart. Stay here. Because you wanted the law, girl. Stay there. And as the next chapter gets into this a lot, and we may kind of jump way ahead and talk about some of those things, but it has a lot to do with the condition of our heart. So
yes.
we're in this life, and we're walking with Jesus, and we're walking through life every day. We're just living our life, and He's with us, and His light is exposing us because, like Carla said, the Holy Spirit's in me. And I, all of a sudden, I have just an evil thought about a person. And the Holy Spirit quickens me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that because I'm close to Him. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry that I had that thought. Forgive me. Help me, Jesus. And we're just in relationship. And we're constantly talking to Him. And we're washing dishes. We're driving the car. We're doing whatever. We're just walking in the light through our life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times where we're walking with Him and we decide to gossip about somebody. And Jesus is there, and His light exposes it, and He says, Kayla, you gossiped. And Kayla has a choice. Because now, she can harden her heart, and she can say, I don't want to agree with that today. And she can go sit down in her chair, and she can just say, I don't want to be close to you right now. I don't want you to expose that in me anymore. And then there's this distance that's created. And we've all felt that before. Like, Lord, where are you? I don't hear you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's trace it back a few days. Remember when I showed you that you're a gossip and you denied that to me and you resisted me? And so a lot of it is about the condition of our heart toward the Lord. So the next chapter gets a lot into love being our motivation with Jesus. Like, the more I know Him and the more we walk together, the more I love Him. And I respond to Him out of love. It when He says, Christy, you are prideful. And I'm like looking at my flesh and I'm going, oh God, forgive me. Because there's so, look at all this pride right here. It's this huge sticker. It's not even little. It's big. And I'm like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Help me, Jesus. It's not because I feel like I'm trying to follow a bunch of rules. That response comes from a heart of love. Because I see you, Jesus, and I see what you've done for me, and I love you. And my response to you is, you saved me, you redeemed me, you're my helper, you're my keeper, you're my lover. Like, you are all these things to me. And so out of love, I'm responding to you, and I'm saying, yes, I agree with you. I don't really know what to do about it. I don't know how to fix it. All I know is to deny my flesh and walk in the spirit. I'm sorry I pushed you away, but I agree with you that that sin nature in me is awful, and I want to walk in the spirit. Forgive me. Help me. Miss Lynn.
I have one more small thought about walking with the Lord, and a passage in the scripture that helps me is in Matthew, where Jesus tells us to come unto him if we're having burdened. Mm-hmm. He'll give us rest. And then the next two commands are, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is light. But the yoking to Jesus is what I like to think of in walking with him. We're yoked to him like cattle are yoked together. Carriage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yoked, we're having to go the same way. And when we're not, when we try to do our own thing or the Holy Spirit is convicting us of something wrong, that's because we're pulling against the yoke that makes us walk uniformly with him, yoke to him, walking with him. It keeps us in tow.
Yes.
And when we sin or we have bad thoughts or whatever we're doing, the Spirit's going to convict us, and we're pulling against that yoke of going the way the Lord wants us to go.
Yeah.
And that's the conviction that we are not in tandem with our master and walking as he would walk.
Yeah.
And that reminds me then that not only do I have to walk with him, but how can I know how to walk? Learn of me. So we need to stay in his word.
Yes.
And when we're doing these things, we know we're not quite right. The Spirit convicts us. We're pulling against that, and we're going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're going to know it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like to think of being yoked and learn him so that he can fill me with the knowledge of what he wants the Spirit to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The closer we get to the Lord, and I've had almost 82 years, not that long of knowing him personally, but I realize the closer I get to glory, the worse I look. Because the more light you allow the Lord to shine on you and the closer you desire to be to him, he's going to purge and show you so much that's wrong, and I don't have much time to correct this, Lord, so let me put a few more ropes on me between you and your Lord and keep you a little tighter there so that I don't deviate off on my own. But it's his word that convicts us, and the Spirit. The Spirit uses his word, and we're going to learn of him daily, and that's
I think it's always so cool to think about that Jesus is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Word, and the Word is him. That Jesus is the Word.
Yeah.
You know, like it. The Word is the. Lee said before, this is the only thing on the earth that is both spiritual and physical at the same time, is the Bible, and that it is Jesus. And so, if we want to know him, we need to open up his word, which is what we're all doing here tonight, and what we're all doing through this Bible study, is that we are positioning ourselves to say to him, God, I want to know more. I want you to show me more about myself through your word. So praise God for that, that you have that heart. Wendy?
I've been in a place of kind of the Lord showing me a lot about myself.
Kids will do that to you.
Yeah, it's painful. And there is that temptation of like, there, you know, I can fix it, even though I know in my head, like, that is not the way that it works. When you're really in the moment of that flesh being shown to you and that conviction coming, like, that's really how you want to respond, is I want to do something about this, you know? And he's just been, what's been helping me so much is just remembering, like, it's out of love that he's bringing that conviction and he's showing us those things, and what's on the other side of it is life and freedom. You know, like that helps me so much. It's like, okay, I don't have to stay here. I don't have to stay in this. We're doing this because what's on the other side of this is so much better. If I'll just respond to you, you know, to work in me how you want to work, then there's going to be life and freedom, you know, and more than knowing.
It's so good. I had someone come in my office tonight at 5 o'clock. I was like trying to come. I was packing up my bag to come leave. And so I walked in my office and I said, how was your day? And she said, it was hard. And I said, oh, come here, let me hug you, you know, because this is how I am. Like, let me comfort you. And what she's walking through right now is a really difficult situation. And when she tells me the story, it's like in my mind, I want to comfort her and just say, oh, it's so hard and you have every right to feel that way and you're feeling overlooked or you're feeling whatever it is. Think of the things that you tell your friends. You know, I feel abused. I feel ignored. I feel passed over. I feel hurt. And as friends, a lot of times we're like comforting each other and we're saying, oh, you have every right to feel that way. This situation is awful. And so I didn't say anything. I let her talk. And she reached a point where she said, tears running down her face, and she said, it's so hard, and I don't understand why this is happening to me, but in it, Jesus is showing me so much about my flesh. He's showing me my flesh, because I don't want to be this way. I don't want to respond this way. I want to willingly do what's being asked of me to do, and I want to do it with a glad heart, but I don't, and I'm just so disgusted with myself. And I was like, I'm literally going to teach that in 30 minutes. It was just the sweetest illustration, because where I could have jumped in and interrupted her and been like, oh girl, I get it. I totally understand why you feel that way. You need to tell those people not to do that to you. And the Lord is using it to show her the things that he wants to work out of her life. And yes, the circumstance might not be fair. And if I told you the story, every one of you would say, wow, that person does not need to do that to her anymore. And she needs to go to them and she needs to tell them, don't do that. But praise God that a little arsenic went into her gold this week. And all those impurities are coming up to the top. And the Lord is just going to scoop that right off. And whether it's wrong or it's right, and whether that person should have done, none of that matters. Because we're walking in the light. We're walking with Jesus. And he's showing us ourselves. And in the end, she has a testimony to say, God showed me how selfish I was. God showed me how prideful I was. God showed me that there was hate and bitterness in my heart. And I confessed it to him. I agreed with him. And now I'm walking in the Spirit. And I'm denying my flesh, and it's dying. And y'all, it was just amazing to listen to this person say all of this when I'm reading it in the Word and, like, preparing to teach it. And for her to say it in a way that was like, this is hard, and I hate it, but I'm so glad that God is showing me these things. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to her, and I was thinking, I think the first thing I would have done is gone back to that person and said, I love you. Like, I think my heart would have been right, and I would have been like, I love you, but I need you to see this from my side. I need you to see my perspective here. And she just agreed with Jesus and said, I am selfish, and I confess that to you, God, and I'm not going to complain about this. Now, she had a lot of tears running out of her eyes. It doesn't mean that that's not hard to do. When we do agree with the Lord and we say, God, you're right, I'm tired, and I didn't want to help that person. I didn't want to have to do that thing that they asked me to do or that they needed me to do. It doesn't mean that it's not hard to choose to walk in the Spirit over the flesh. It hurts sometimes. It means sacrifice sometimes in our lives. It means walking in a completely different path than we thought we were going to walk in. And so it does take sacrifice, and sometimes it is painful, but at the end, are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in the flesh? And as Jesus shows you these things, can you, in love, say, thank you, God. Thank you that you let this person be the arsenic to my gold today. Thank you that you let this circumstance that I didn't want to walk through reveal who I really am. Because in my flesh, I'm never going to do this right. And I want to live in the Spirit. That's where we're in that love relationship with him, where instead of like, God, why are you hurting me? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you not helping me? Why haven't you saved me yet? And just blaming God for everything that's happening to us, instead of saying, oh God, thank you, because I'm so mad right now I could spit nails, and that can't be in me. I can't choose that. Or because you let this person offend me, I was able to see my pride. Thank you. thank you, God. And just to have the faith to just agree with him when he shows us that kind of stuff. It's just, that's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. And we want to help each other and encourage each other to do that. So, okay. We have talked about everything that is in the next several questions. We covered all that. I'm looking at my big words on here. Confess and agree. Agreeing with Jesus. Choosing the mind of Christ. So we've covered just about everything through the end of chapter 3, I think. Is there anything in here? Let's do question number 9. Let's do this on page 42. It says, in case chapter 1, verses 7 through 10 gives anyone the impression that it is okay for Christians to sin, John adds chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 as a parenthesis. So the question is, how does John avoid being too lenient with sin? And then how does he avoid being too severe with sinners? Either one of those, if y'all want to tell us what you wrote down or talk through that a little bit. And specifically in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Y'all want me to read it to you real quick? It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that, this is so good. I'm going to take my time reading it. Hold on. Because right before that, he's talking about confess your sins, and if you say you don't have sin, you're not in the light, and like just agree with God and be in the light. Confess your sins. So then he says in chapter 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So what is John trying to do here to avoid being too lenient with sin, but also not to be too severe with sinners?
I mean, he just says don't sin. I wrote this to you so you won't sin.
Right.
I mean, like, it's not hidden.
Right.
He just said don't sin.
Yeah.
But he gives us a way out.
Yes.
Which is through Jesus.
Yes.
Right. Speak loud. I know you can, Marcel. I believe in you.
Yeah, he gives us a way out. You know, we have an advocate, Jesus.
Yes.
He's before the Father. What, you know, what more can we ask for? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we try not to sin, but then sometimes we stumble into it.
Yeah.
And then it's not the death of us. There's Jesus, you know, his blood is, he's covered us.
Yeah.
We're washed in his blood. Mm-hmm. We can remember that. Repent and go on. Repent, mm-hmm. pick up our heels and go on.
And allow him to change our heart about it. Which you said earlier about the heart. When you study repentance, repent means to change the way you think about the sin.
Yes.
And so as you transform with the word, like, mm-hmm. and we keep repeating, the process, like, keep doing the same thing, the Holy Spirit helps you from doing the same thing. A repentance, and you were saying something like that a while ago when you're convicted, and I've had that a lot of times where I think, oh God, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm more concerned about how my Lord feels than actually sin itself. I feel more sadness about letting him down.
Yeah.
So then you change the way you think about that sin, and the desire starts to, the desire of it starts to fall away, you start to fall away. And then it also says that you change your behavior. Then it's changed your behavior. And so when you change the way you look at it, like, I want to be God's billboard. I don't want to be people to look at me and go, well, you know, does she serve Christ or not? I want them to look at me and know that I serve Christ.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just this, there comes a shift where, and we all know it with walking with the Lord, but it comes a shift where you lose the desire to sin more than you want to sin.
Yeah, it's so good. I think what they're trying to bring out with these two questions is, like, he's not being lenient with sin because he's telling us don't sin, and if you say you're not a sinner, you are a sinner. And, you know, he's like telling us all these very direct things, like our flesh is filled with sin. But I read the first verse of this, I read it like this. This is like, you know how text messaging can be so misunderstood? Like, you don't have any tone of voice. And so my text message could either say, get over here, Or it could say, get over here, girl. You know, mm-hmm. like it depends on the tone of voice that you use. And so with this, the way that I read it is, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin.
Yeah.
But if you do, you know, it's like a calm, it's not, I don't read it like a command. I read it like, I don't want you to sin. But if you do sin, here's the good news. Because just like we saw in the analogy a minute ago with Kayla and Leah, as soon as the blindfold is removed, we are now in the light. Because we have come into salvation, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and everything's illuminated for us. And now it's like, oh, wow, now I can see this flesh that I don't want to have, but I still have it, but I see it. And so it gives us a way not to live under the law. I think these two verses specifically, it's like he's saying, I don't want you to sin, but if you do, yes. Jesus is the way. Not 10 steps to forgiveness and not 10 steps to fixing yourself and don't go back under the law. Just keep walking with me, stay in fellowship with me, confess to me, agree with me, and together we're going to help you like activate that mind of Christ, choose the mind of Christ, deny your flesh, take up your cross. Come on, girl, we got this. Like, let's keep going. And we don't have to get burdened down in condemnation that, oh God, I have pride. I have sin. I can't fix it. I don't know what to do. You've told me, and you said don't sin. John told me not to sin, but I sin. That's where we end up in the law and in condemnation. But he's like, look, because we've talked about this, but he's very like black and white and like super direct. And so it's like he's saying, don't do it. But if you do, because we're gonna. And he knew that. He knew we're going to sin because we are living in this battle between the flesh and the spirit. So there's just freedom in it. I think it's so sweet of the Lord to have made a way for us to have a restored relationship with him that allows us to walk in light while we live in this earth and to walk in power and the glory of God on our lives when we don't deserve it because we're still literally dragging around this dead body with us, you know. But he's giving us power over that, and we're choosing the mind of Christ. So just awesome. Okay, let's jump forward to chapter 4. Somebody give me a time check. It's 7:30 already? Mm-hmm. Sylvia, you are talking too much. Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to talk very little in this chapter. Y'all are going to do all the talking, and I don't want to rush through it, but we won't go through every question. But I want to tell you this. If there's something that you found when you did the study on your own that you just really want to bring out, please speak up and do that. I would love for you to do that. So chapter 4 gets into the section of chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. And I do want to read this opening paragraph in case there's anybody who wasn't able to do the study this week. It says, 1 John 2:3, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And it says Gnostics, which I don't know how much the book actually talked about this. I can't remember. But basically, in this book, John is writing to the church because there is another religion that is formed. And those people it's called Gnostics. And they basically believe in an enlightened understanding of a higher being. And they believed that if you have this understanding from the higher being, that you can basically do whatever you want in your physical because the higher being has no connection to the physical, okay? And I may not have said that perfectly. It's recorded, and so y'all could go back and listen to me and hold me accountable. So just know, that's a basic understanding that I have of it, okay? Not years of study. But they were teaching and saying that you can basically do anything you want while you're on the earth. As long as you have this enlightenment about this supreme being, then you can do what you want. So the purpose of the book is for John to say, look, that's not true. Jesus came and he dwells in us and we have a love relationship with him. And so if you're trying to figure out if you're a believer or a non-believer and if you're in Christ or if you're not in Christ, these are some things that you can evaluate your life against to determine, like, are you keeping his commands? Are you in love with Jesus and responding to him as he walks with you in the light and reveals your flesh? Do you have a desire to follow his commands? Because we know we don't do it perfectly because that's heaven when we do everything perfect. So he's just trying to say,
this is how you determine what these people are telling you is false, what these Gnostics are saying is false. And so if you have been enlightened and you are in the light and Jesus is your Savior, this is what your life should basically look like, okay? So that's really what this chapter goes into, is if we know him, we keep his commands. So I don't have to read that now because I basically explained all that. So let's look at question number one. It says, for practice in outlining, list the four ethical tests of fellowship with God in these verses. So the first one says, fellowship with God requires what from verses 5 through 7?
Light.
Walking in the light. Yep. So first, we walk in the light. So to go back to the analogy, Jesus takes the blindfold off of Kayla's eyes, and now she's in the light and she can see. What is the second thing that, or what does fellowship require? Now that Jesus has taken the blindfold off and we're in the light, now what do?
Repent. Yeah.
Repentance, confession, agreement. So now, just like in the analogy, Kayla says, yes, Jesus, I see the stickers. I see what you're showing me, and I agree with you. This is in me. So then knowing and being in God requires what?
Obedience.
Obedience. Keeping his commandments, relationship, yeah. And in verses 7 through 11, knowing God requires what?
Loving one another.
Love. Love. I do want to read this one, the thought and discussion. It says, do you ever wonder whether you really know God? And how can you be sure that you do?
That I remember says, what you are speaks louder than what you say.
What you say.
So actions really do speak loud. And so our actions brings out what's really in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good. Romans 8 says, But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I've thought about this a lot through the years, how you do go through times in your walk with the Lord. And I, especially when I was young, I remember being in college and hearing all the crazy stuff in college and like, wait, am I really saved? Is this real? Is God real? You know, like you go through those times of just testing and proving in your life. And then there comes a point in your walk with the Lord where oftentimes it comes through suffering, it comes through trial, it comes through somebody being arsenic in your gold for the day, it comes through the struggles that we face. But the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And there's a knowing in you, an experiential knowing that is like, I am his and he is mine. And there's nothing that can take that from me. It is a firm foundation. My feet are planted in a broad place, and I know in my spirit. It's not a head knowledge anymore. The Holy Spirit bears witness with the spirit in me, and I feel the confirmation in my soul. Like, I belong to him. I am an heir with Jesus. And everything that this word tells me that he is available to my life. And it's just like such a confidence that comes with that. That you, when you really reach that place where it's like, I hear that witness of the Spirit. I hear it in my soul. I'm his and he's mine. And I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. It's like, it's such a cool thing that God gives us so that we don't live this life wondering, am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to think of the people out there that don't know the Lord and don't have that witness and they believe in heaven and hell, but it's like, am I going to make it? Yeah. How many things can I do today to make sure I get to heaven? And we're walking around in the light with our flesh fully exposed. All of our stickers are out there for everybody else to see them. And our flesh is exposed, but we're walking in fellowship with Jesus. We're agreeing with him. When somebody bumps into me and my pride comes out or my wrath comes out or whatever, it's just like, oh, I know, girl, my flesh was in that moment, but I'm with Jesus. I'm in fellowship with him. I'm confessing that to him. I'm going to walk forward in the light. Please forgive me. God, forgive me. It's a posture of our hearts. It's a posture of love and of humility, where instead of trying to just stand our ground and say, I am a believer and I am right and I don't have sin anymore, it's a posture of humility that's like, I know. I know. You think I'm a jerk? I know. I am such a jerk. Tell me about it. Let me tell you how bad of a jerk I am. Like, just this acknowledgement of, yes, my flesh is pure evil. And so forgive me that I let my flesh be alive right there. And now let's walk in spirit together. And let's go forward and let's forgive that and move on. And to Jesus the same way. Jesus is like, it's okay, girl. I know you're a jerk. Let that flesh die, and let's walk in the spirit, and let's keep moving. Let's stay in fellowship together. It's just awesome. I just love that thought about the Lord. There is nothing good in our flesh. If anything good comes from your life, it is from the Lord. That's also something I've heard Pastor Lee say before. I have to give that man credit constantly. Everything I ever say, I'm like, Pastor Lee told me this, that there's nothing good in your flesh. And so whatever good is produced in your life, whatever good thought you have, whatever good thing you have a desire to do, is count it from the Lord, because there's nothing good in us. And we can't fix this flesh. We can't make it better. We can't dress it up. We can't fix it. We just kill it. We just let it die, and we walk in the Spirit. Just so good.
What's that quote? I don't know if it's Charles Spurgeon. I'm just thinking about it when you're talking, like, don't be angry if someone thinks ill of you because you're worse than they think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They really do.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's the only sticker you read today? Great, girl. Let me hide the rest of them from you. My worst stickers are back here on my back. Y'all don't look back here. It's so true. And there's such a freedom in that. There's such a freedom in that. And y'all, trust me, this, I'm preaching to myself. I should have a mirror right here. In fact, there is a mirror right there. I'll look right here while I say this. It's so hard to do that because we want to be good. We just want to be good. And I think a lot of it sometimes it's a righteous desire, because it's like, I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor him. And I want what people say about me to be good that honors Jesus. But there's such a freedom in being able to just say, y'all, I know, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Out of everybody in here, I'm the worst. And so you tell me what you saw, and let's confess it to Jesus together. Help me, you know, like Felix Sunday morning, let's carry me, lower me through the roof, like get me to Jesus, because I don't want that in me. But it's so much more common in our life that when somebody says, hey, Christy, your pride showing right there, that I'm like, no, it's not. How dare you say that to me? I do not have pride. I mean, isn't that what we do? It's like, don't say that about me. When, if we could be what Wendy just said, like,
girl, I know. Have you seen this sticker and this sticker and this one? And all, like, I know, I'm just a wretch. And God, and not with our words. Not with our words only. But with the truth of our hearts. That to the Lord, like Terry said, where the real sadness in sin is what it does to Jesus.
Yes.
And we so often think about the sadness in sin, about what it does to us when we get caught. We're busted. And it's like, oh, my pride sticker's out for everybody to see. And I don't know why I keep using pride. I mean, I definitely have that. So I guess it's a good one. But it's out and it's exposed. And so I lost my train of thought.
Your pride is exposed.
Carla's rubbing off on me.
Every couple girls, what it does to Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Yes. That, look, she's listening. She's the only one listening. What are y'all doing? Speaking of my pride being exposed, she's the only one listening. Yes, that we so often think about, like, oh, I hate that I did that because everybody saw it. Instead of, oh, Jesus, that hurt you. It hurt you that, and that is what this whole chapter is about walking in the Spirit because of our love for Jesus, because our love for him. And if that love is the motivation of our heart and the motivation of our response to him, then our response is always going to be, I don't want to do this because I love you. I don't want to do that because it hurts you. I want to walk closer with you, Jesus, because I love you and I love being with you. And so I'm going to let go of the world, and I'm letting go of all these things that I don't need and all these things that are causing sin in my life, and I'm allowing my flesh to die. Because I love you, and I want you, and I want that closeness to you.
Yes.
So sweet. And if that can be our motivation, you know, we can really, could really accomplish a lot with the Lord.
The other motivation that I have is that when I sin, it gets me further away from God.
Yeah?
Yes.
And I want to be close to him. Even the worst moments in my life are still the best because he was closest to me.
What is that? I don't remember which guy, at least said this before too, the story where he just falls down this muddy street, the horse carriage is passing by, and he just starts repenting because he felt a shadow pass between him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sent him to his
knees. I've never forgotten that either. I think about it all the time. That is so convicting. Because I'm like, Lord, hold on. Just give me a second. Let me finish this. And then I'll stop and talk to you about that.
Yeah,
and to think, like,
angry a little while.
Yeah.
Be depressed a little while.
Yeah.
Justification or something.
Yeah.
So we hang on to it a little while.
Yeah. So look at question number 10 on page 54. It says, I'm going to read both of these at the same time. We can talk through them. But what is wrong with trying to keep God's commandments without love? And what is wrong with trying to love without keeping God's commandments?
It's
not a question.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping a little bit ahead. In chapter 4 on page 54, it's question 10 and question 11.
Because it's not obedient. It's just not.
You're saying to try to keep his commandments without love?
Yeah, it's just simply not obedient. Right. It's the law. Yeah,
we're
not
just joined together. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
I love the Romans 13:8-10 because it just says it. I love when the word just says it real quick, but it says love is a fulfillment of the law.
Yes.
You know, it talks about if you love the Lord God and you love your brother, everything else is fulfilled in that. And, you know, otherwise, he's always talking about spiritual gifts in this, but we'd be abusive with the, like, we didn't have love, we'd be abusive towards others and prideful and legalistic. So the love brings that humility and putting others first. But it just, it fulfills the law. And I've heard people say, I can't quite get it right. Y'all might be helping. So you can obey without loving, but you can't love without obeying. You can do something because you just have to, but you don't really love the person.
Like military.
When John says,
yeah,
too, if you love me, then you'll obey me. Like, love is first. He first loved, then he gave it. Like, you love first, and then we obey out of love.
It says, like, basically that all of those things that you've done are good for nothing without love. It's good for nothing. It doesn't produce any righteous fruit. It's just a noise. you know, in the background. And like the page before, like this was something I underlined, and I even texted it to Brad because I was like, ooh, like, okay. And it says like at the bottom 52, and it says hates and loves, and it says John favors strong contrasts like light and darkness, truth and lies. And then this is the part I underlined. It says, because love is primarily active, the lack of love is not neutral indifference, but hate. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about like the implications of that between us and God, but then also like us with one another, or like us with our spouses, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's just like, you think like if you don't love someone, that's not really hurting them because you're not going out doing anything against them, but actually like, it is like there's no neutrality there. Like it's, you either love the Lord or you hate the Lord. Like you're either his or you're an enemy, and you're of your father, the devil. I mean, the Bible says that. So we think of that like, oh, well, they're a good person. No, like you either, it's one or the other. And like, this is no different. So that just really stuck out to me, that the lack of love is not neutral indifference, but hate. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway,
about the Pharisees, you know, like they kept a lot of the law and it looked really good, but like the only motivation to do that is pride. You know, like people can keep the commandments and people do it all the time, and in churches people, you can really be fooled, you know, and we can fool people, you know, but if the Lord ultimately knows the heart, but it, that's what's wrong with trying to keep his commandments without love, is that it just makes you either feel really prideful about yourself and think that you attained something, or you fail and then you become bitter and give up and you're like, oh, I think this is impossible, and you don't rely on the grace of God, and therefore you just are disappointed, you know, and just like, I can't do this, I'm gonna quit.
It's really crazy.
And the condemnation that comes with that. We just receive condemnation onto ourselves for no reason. I want to read y'all this verse from Romans 6. It says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I love those words. Maybe I'll write a book one day titled Obedient from the Heart. It's just such a good thought, like where we move from obedience because I'm being told to do it to obedience from the heart. I want to obey you because I love you. And it's in that posture of our hearts where it's just, I love you, Lord, and so I'm obedient to you because my heart is in love with you. And I want what you want, and I want you to have your glory, and I want you to have your way in my life, and I want the mind of Christ to be alive in me. Obedient from the heart. Isn't that awesome?
What was the scripture reference
again? That's Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. I love that. I love that. 6, 17 and 18. So, just in closing, is there anything that anybody wants to add real quick, or that we didn't talk about that you really just wanted to note from your studies? Or are y'all enjoying this? Isn't it good? It's so good. And it's helpful to have something to kind of help you through it over the couple of weeks. So, the next time we'll get together is 2 weeks from yesterday. I don't know the date right now, but Carla, who's teaching next time?
Where is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the 18th lesson.
Okay. Raise your hand if you're happy. This is here. Your home is beautiful. Beautiful. And it wasn't far at all.
It wasn't that bad.
I did not think it was.
No matter what direction I go, so it
didn't think it was.
Yeah, you did.
Well, y'all, let's just pray together as we close. And I think it would be really wise of us. Do you want to say something? Are you trying to get my attention? Okay. I thought you were trying to get
Ms.
my
Roses.
Attention. Oh, I'm sorry.
What are we doing? 5 and 6?
Yeah. So we finished chapter 4 tonight. So go ahead and do 5 and 6.
It's 2 weeks, you know, if we can.
Yeah.
Because we need someone to finish first job by the end.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Simpler as we go.
Can we...
Can you just throw a little prayer in there for Jane?
Jane Smith.
Yes. Can you just can remember her?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So y'all know that Jane Smith's mother passed away kind of suddenly this week, and Rebecca Villeneuve, a lot of y'all know her. Her brother also died suddenly. So two just really untimely deaths this week. Amanda and Megan's grandmother. Okay.
Jane Smith.
Okay,
I'm just gonna have a baby.
Becca's gonna have a baby any day. Lord help her. Y'all, praise God for Rachel Forrester. She is in week 25 right now. Another benefit of just walking in the light. It's like that we see just the glory of God in our lives and the testimonies that he gives us and the hardship that she's walked through, but now to be seeing the glory of God, that she's 25 weeks, she feels good, she hasn't been having any problems. It's just, we've really been praying. So please continue to pray for her, that she'll carry this baby to full term and feel great the whole time, and it'll just be another miracle, just like Judah. It's like Judah is a perfect little miracle. So, okay, so let's just pray for a minute. Father, we do just really thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you live inside of us and that there's this sweet confirmation in us that we are yours, we belong to you, that we're heirs of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is alive in us, that gives us the mind of Christ and helps us, Lord. Thank you that we can walk with you in the light, and that as you expose our sin and just all the things in our flesh, God, that we can just agree with you in love, and we can just receive from you the things we need to walk in strength and in power and in might, to just deny that flesh and put it away and walk in the Spirit and be victorious, God. Thank you that you are who your word says you are, and that there is no lack in you. And so we just thank you, Jesus, that you are our companion, you are our friend, you are our Savior and Redeemer, and yet you just draw so close to us to keep relationship with us and help us as we live this life. And so, God, I pray that you would convict us where it's needed, that this lesson and these words that we've heard tonight would just keep us humble before you, God. I just pray that you would make us women that walk in humility, that when you expose our sin, that we are quick to just agree with you and say, yes, God, yes, I see it. I see it. Thank you for exposing it. Make us people like this woman I talked to today that just said, it's horrible, but I'm so glad that Jesus is exposing my flesh in the process. Give us hearts that would be filled with love, that would obey you out of love, hearts that would be obedient to you because we love you. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to remember these things, that as we leave here tonight, as we fellowship and we eat a little bit more, I just pray that none of this would leave us, and that as we go home tonight, we would be really contemplating who you are and what you have done for us. We love you, and we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for wisdom that you give us that is beyond ourselves. And Father, we just lift up a few hurting people in our body right now. Thank you for the way you've given us such a love and compassion for one another, which is exactly what we studied tonight. The more we know you, the more we love one another. And you have done a beautiful, beautiful work in this body of Christ in this way. And we thank you for it, Lord. And so we just lift up Jane to you tonight and her family and everything that needs to be done with the arrangements for her mom. I pray that you bring peace to that situation and that you would be glorified. Father, thank you for Rebecca and Mark and their testimony to their family of faith and salvation. And I pray that the service for her brother would just be really peaceful, God, and that you would help them, help Vicky as she serves them. And Lord, for Megan and Amanda, we lift them up to you in the death of their grandmother. And we just ask you to be a comfort to every person. Your word says that you are the great comforter, and we believe that. And so I pray that they would feel it, God. And though suffering and trial, it sometimes causes us to question you, I pray that every person in all of these situations, that their eyes would be opened and that they would believe you, that this hardship would cause them to look to you and to see your heart of love for us. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We praise you and we thank you for Rachel and this baby and her being able to carry this baby so far. And we just entrust her into your hands, God. And we say that this is for your glory. Her life has been lived for your glory.
and the testimony that you've brought out of Judah's life and out of what they walked through with Claire. Yes. You've been so glorified, God. Yes. And she has been so faithful to you. They both have, God. They've just been so faithful, God, to give you praise. Yes. And to give you honor, even when the circumstances seem so difficult. They've praised you. And so, God, we ask you to show your favor, to bless her, to just in every way, God, to keep her during this time. And we pray that it would just be a beautiful delivery and that it would just all be for your glory, Lord. Another testimony of who you are. Bless Becca right now, God. Just give her strength as she delivers the baby this week. We just pray for your blessings over her and Felix's life in every way, God. And Lord, we just honor you. Thank you for this home. Thank you for Terry. Thank you for bringing her to First New Testament and just making her part of our body. And Lord, we just bless them. And we ask you, God, to go with us. Keep us safe as we travel. And God, just keep us humble before you. Work in us as we study chapters 5 and 6. And as we prepare to come together again in a few weeks, I pray that the stories and the testimonies of what you're really doing in us would be seen. And that it would be evident that we're studying this book together. That as women who are walking through this life together, that we would see improvement in one another, that we would see faith in one another, that we would see love developed in one another, and that we would just grow closer and closer to you as we study your word. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.